Jamaica Bay used to be a thriving estuarine ecosystem, but now nearly 85% of its historic wetlands have been lost. Don Reapy, the director of American Littoral Society's Northeast Chapter, has been working to restore Jamaica Bay's wetlands in order to preserve the area's ecosystem and keep New Yorkers in low-lying areas safe. Don, who is also known as the Jamaica Bay Guardian, has recently been recognized with the Solution Search Award in Washington, D.C., and I'm very pleased that he could join us now. Welcome to our show and congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
What are your day-to-day duties as Jamaica Bay Guardian?
Well, they can vary from taking kids out in the marshes to do seining projects or shoreline cleanups to going into to the city to meet with different agencies, to doing programs on educational activities at the Jamaica Bay Wildlife Refuge. So.
And you say taking kids out. Are most of your volunteers kids?
Many of them. Not all, but many kids. We actually have a restoration corps, kids that we hire for the summer. We're doing it. This is our third year.
And is that something that's also encouraged by schools?
Not so much by the schools, but it's something that we started a few years ago and managed to get some funding from the agencies to take kids out and have them work in the marsh, but give them some education as well.
How did you receive this position? Is it linked to your position at the American Littoral Society, L-I-T-T-O-R-A-L
right.
Society, not that other literal thing?
Well, I've been working in the Bay for about over 30 years. I was working for the National Park Service for 25 years and was always affiliated with the environmental community, groups like New York City Audubon, the Sierra Club, and the Littoral Society, and then was was approached by the state, DEC. They had some funding, some mitigation funding, asked me if I'd be interested in starting up this program called the Jamaica Bay Guardian. They would award the Littoral Society the money, and so I agreed to take early retirement from the Park Service and did that.
Do you have any policing powers?
Not really, but
so if somebody's doing something destructive, you can't stop them? You could just say, no, don't do that?
Yes, but usually that works. But if not, I can call the U.S. Park Police, the DEC police, so we're in contact with everybody.
Well, let's go back. What role do wetlands play? Is it the same throughout the world?
No, they vary throughout the world, but basically wetlands are the life's blood of these estuaries, if we're talking about estuaries. And they provide critical habitat for the myriad species that live there. Most of the fish spend part of their life cycle in these marshes. So if you like to eat fish and crabs and clams and shrimp, you need to protect these marshes.
I would assume that there were a lot more wetlands in the past. Is Jamaica Bay, are the Rockaways now the last survivors?
Well, in New York City, if we could go back 100 years or more, that the wetlands were twice as extensive. You know, right now we say we have about 13,000 acres of open water and marsh area in the bay, but years ago that was double. The marshes extended way back into Brooklyn and Queens, and a lot of the tributaries and freshwater sources came from those areas too.
Destroyed by building?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. How fast are the Rockaway wetlands eroding?
Well, in the Rockaways, there aren't really wetlands. They're dune systems. So those are also critical. So the Rockaway is basically a barrier island, a big sand spit, and that's the first line of defense against coastal storms. Behind the barrier islands, the Rockaways, you have the wetlands and protect communities like Broad Channel, Howard Beach, and Canarsie.
Now, Robert Moses often gets a lot of bad press, but didn't he play a role in saving the wetlands?
Well, not saving the wetlands, but what he did was create the so-called Jamaica Bay Wildlife Refuge. He consulted with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and they recommended putting in these two large freshwater ponds. It was turned over to New York City Parks for a while, and in 1972, under the Gateway Lands Act, was turned over to the federal government, the National Park Service, as part of Gateway National Recreation Area.
So does the status of national park grant it any further protections or funding?
Yeah, these areas are fully protected, not only by the National Park Service, but by state law. The state DEC wetland, Title Wetland Act protects any marshes in the state. You can't develop within a marshlands adjacent area, 150 feet from wetland vegetation in New York City and 300 feet outside of the city.
Are you trying to maintain something that is entirely natural, or is there a man-made aspect to what you're doing?
Well, it's a little late to protect everything natural, so we're trying to protect the remnants of the bay's marshes. The bay is still viable. It's still a functioning ecosystem, but it needs full protection, and it also needs to be restored. So we're working on restoring these marshes that have been eroding due to development in the city.
And I'm assuming things like Hurricane Sandy.
Well, Hurricane Sandy didn't impact the bay so much. It impacted the communities around the bay. The Rockaways, Broad Channel, Howard Beach communities were devastated. But it was basically a big surge of water. The bays, the estuaries, and the barrier islands are used to dealing with hurricanes. You know, so some of the reconstructed marsh was damaged, but not much.
So what are you doing? You're putting plants back in?
Yeah, we're working with all the various city, state, and federal agencies. The Corps of Engineers provides the sand. We got the sand from the deepening of the harbor project. And then the state DEC, they're the regulators. And we also work with the city Department of Environmental Protection, the DEP. And they provided funds to help us restore the marshes.
You mentioned the Army Corps of Engineers. Weren't they the first group responsible for restoring salt marshes? Why have they kind of been pulled out of this effort?
Well, they're not the first group. Actually, the marshes, the first people that noticed that there was something happening in the marshes was a group in Broad Channel called the Jamaica Bay Echo Watches. Basically, a retired fire captain and his son, Dan Mundy Sr. and Jr., and they noticed that they lived in, they grew up in Broad Channel, and they noticed that the marshes were really eroding. So they contacted the Park Service and the different agencies, the DEC. They had a blue ribbon panel. They brought in the wetland ecologists, and they came up with a bunch of recommendations. And it's been a long fight, a long struggle. But everybody right now is on board. So I think all the different agencies and environmental groups are working together to restore these marshes.
The reason I ask is that the Army Corps of Engineers has been faulted for many of the problems that happened in New Orleans, that their policies were seen actually as counterproductive. Have we seen similar things here in New York?
Not really, from my perspective. The Corps of Engineers has been very proactive in Jamaica Bay, in coming in and designing and moving forward on and getting the sand and the money from Congress to restore these marshes. So far, we've restored about four or five marshes in the bay. We were losing them since about 1924. We lost over 1,200 acres of marshes in the bay. And for a while, we were losing about 40 acres or so per year. So now we're hoping that we can stabilize that. The big ticket item, we believe, is excess nutrient coming out of the treatment plants. And so we worked with the city DEP. They are upgrading all the treatment plants, and they're starting to reduce the nitrogen load coming into the bay. We hope that in time, the marshes will stabilize. We'll be able to catch up with marsh loss.
So the nitrogen was, you said nitrogen?
Nitrogen coming out of the sewage sludge.
How does that work? I've heard of many of methane coming out of sewage sludge.
Well,
but nitrogen is one of our natural gases, common gas
it comes
in
out of
our
the,
atmosphere.
Actually, human waste. The big sewer systems in New York City are combined systems, so we have not only all the waste from 8 million people going to these big pipelines, but all the runoff from all the gray air. That goes to treatment plants. And they have to dewater all this sludge. In that process, they squeeze out all the nitrogen-rich material, and that goes into the bay. That fuels excess growth of algae. It also damages the root systems of the marsh plants, the Spartina, and they start deteriorating.
My guest is Don Riepe, R-I-E-P-E, of the American Littoral Society. He is also known as the Jamaica Bay Guardian, or is that an official title?
Well, semi-official. It doesn't come with any, as you say, policing activity, but it's something like a bay keeper. We couldn't use the bay keeper, so we used the guardian. And my role is actually education, restoration, advocacy, and the bay. I do patrol the bay. I look for problems. If I see problems, I alert the different agencies.
How much of the area you are covering is open to the general public?
Most of it is. Some of the big bird islands, especially now during the breeding season, are closed to the public. But the bay is accessible from many points. The Park Service has programs, you know, weekly, some of which we do actually for them. There's a lot more kayaking out in the bay now. There's a lot more interest in getting out and exploring the bay.
But it's a lot of birders want to come out.
Not only birders, but the general public want to come out. But there is a large birding community in New York City.
What is the process by which marshlands protects communities from rising water levels and major storms? They just absorb the water dropped?
They act like giant sponges. They're big mass of peat substrate, so they can hold excess water from surges, but they also attenuate any wave action from storm activity. So they are like a bulwark against a storm. So the communities living around the bay would be better off if we have these marshes in place.
Well, some other areas were really hit hard by storms like Sandy, parts of along the East River, Greenpoint and Williamsburg, but also Red Hook and the south of Brooklyn and downtown Manhattan as well. Could we restore marshlands to those areas?
Not really. Those areas are they're kind of deep water areas. Marshes require gentle slopes and more of a natural shoreline. A lot of those shorelines have been hardened. They're all bulkheaded, filled in. So you really
so we
can't.
Killed them off, in effect.
We killed them off. We perhaps if we could again
we blame
we
the Dutch on that from Manhattan
to some degree, you know. But if we could go back in time and realize the value of these marshes, we might have withdrawn a little bit from the edge of the water and left a soft the marshes in place.
Now you mentioned the cost of restoring. How much does this cost? Is it relatively low comparatively?
To restore marshes is fairly expensive. I mean, you have to pump sand in, so they have contractors have to go and pump sand to pump out on the islands. It has to be a certain elevation. They bring in heavy equipment and bulldozers, actually laser guided bulldozers, to get that right elevation so the marshes can grow. And putting fencing around it to hold everything in place, and then monitoring it, and then planting thousands, hundreds of thousands of clumps of Spartina alterniflora, the marsh grass. So it's very expensive. Some of these marshes are upwards of $15, $17 million. What we've done is used volunteers. We've reduced that cost by perhaps at least two-thirds. And because we have a big network of people in the city, people really want to get out and do something. We started in 1986 with doing shoreline cleanups as part of the International Coastal Cleanup Day. And we had four marshes at four shoreline cleanups then. And now we do we coordinate shoreline cleanups throughout New York State. We have over 300 beaches and shorelines. So we have a lot of general public interest in getting out and doing something.
Well, you mentioned that a lot of the volunteers are in school, so there's also an educational aspect to it. But for the rest of us, if we want to get involved, do we just simply call you and say, I'd like to come by next Saturday and help?
Well, we select times. Actually, we're finishing up this year. We have a window of opportunity. If we're going to be doing planting, say, from May through June, we'd prefer to do it then.
And so that's almost over.
Yes. Well, just yesterday we had a group from Mitsui Company come out, a group of about 25 people. We brought them out by boat to the marshes. They planted about 4,000 plugs of spartina for us. We work with other companies, too. Bloomberg Company has been very supportive of sending volunteers out. Estee Lauder is out there today doing a shoreline cleanup for us. So we get lots of groups and corporations. We're seeing more and more volunteerism in New York City.
But Jamaica Bay is pretty much the only marshland we have. Are there marshlands in other parts of this area, in our state, New Jersey?
Oh, sure, sure. New Jersey has extensive marshes, and so does Long Island. You know, big Hempstead marshes, Peconic Bay, Great South Bay marshes. And New Jersey has a tremendous amount of spartina marshland.
Are they all threatened?
Yeah, they're all threatened. None of them are escaping from the fact that excess development in coastal areas does have an impact, and the impact we feel is all the nutrient that's leaching out into in these estuaries is really overwhelming the system.
Aren't some nutrients good for plants?
To a level. You know, nitrogen is good for plants, you know, but when you overwhelm the system, you're actually, at some point, the grasses, the marsh grasses, spend too much time growing upward and don't develop a strong root system. And so that whole peaty substrate weakens and starts to fall and collapse in on itself. So it's a matter of amount.
Well, I asked you earlier, I don't think we really got an answer. If a listener decided he or she wanted to help, what would they do?
Well, they can go on our website, which is literalsociety.org.
L-I-T-T-O-R-A-L.
That's correct.
It's literally called that.
It's literally called Literal. We are not a book club, but we're the literal zone is actually the intertidal zone or the drift of currents and where the land meets the sea. And they can volunteer. We can put them on a list. We can let them know when our next cleanup will be or when our next shoreline planting will be. So there are many ways of getting involved.
And, of course, they can also find out when they can just visit, do some kayaking or bird watching or
yes,
whatever.
Yes, for that they can contact us or the National Park Service at Gateway National Recreation Area.
And I thank you so much for being on our show. We've been speaking with Don Riepe. I'm pronouncing your name correctly?
That's correct.
R-I-E-P-E. He is the director of the American Literal Society's Northeast Chapter. He's also the Jamaica Bay Guardian. And it has been my great pleasure talking with him today.
Well, thank you for having me.